This is Let's Talk Business with your hosts, Mark Ebinger and Heather Bain. Now, here's Mark.
Welcome to Let's Talk Business, a show that highlights and promotes entrepreneurs to learn more about their vision, goals, and marketing strategy. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about the importance of getting your website ADA compliant and what can happen to your business if you don't. In studio with us today is Veronica Morales, the president of TSB Digital Creative Agency. Veronica, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Mark. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is your first time on this show, but I know you have some experience elsewhere, so welcome. Also in studio with us today is Megan Lopez, a project manager with TSB Digital Creative Agency. Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
This is your first podcast, isn't it?
Yes,
it is. Are you nervous? You can be honest.
Yes and no, because I've had to, you know, present so much stuff. So it's kind of nice being behind, you know, kind of behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a relief, actually.
It's public speaking light.
Yes.
There you go. All right. I'm your host, Mark Ebinger, the owner of Krukas Virtual Staffing, a company that specializes in hiring virtual assistants from outside the United States.
And I'm Heather Baim, your co-host. I am a certified business trainer and coach and owner of Onset Professional Development, where we give business owners and executives the clarity and insight they need to take confident action in their business.
A quick reminder to follow the Let's Talk Business podcast on all major podcast platforms and social media, where you can catch video versions of the show. You can get to everything easily by visiting our website at satalkradio.com. Now, if you're going to be in the San Antonio area on May 16, 2024, be sure to join us at the next Let's Talk Business Mega Business Mixer. Now, we had to call it mega because of the huge turnout that we had on the last one. I think we're going to try and get up to 200 people on this next one, which is going to be a lot of fun. Plenty of room in there, plenty of drinks, plenty of food, right? You pay $10 to get in the door, and you get $25 worth of drinks as soon as you come in. So it's fantastic. Now, you can space those drinks out if you like, or you can two-fist it. I mean, whatever is your game. So make sure you guys show up. You can get to all the information on our website at satalkradio.com. All right, so Veronica, the TSB, Digital Creative Agency, okay,
yes.
So this is your baby, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, it is. Yes,
so
it is.
So how did you go from wherever you, give me that background of where you were and how you ended up with that company.
Well, let's see. I am a graduate of UTSA in a communications degree, and so back in 94 was my first website that I actually coded. So I'm very proud of that.
What software did you use to code it?
GeoFences. It was old.
Never heard of that one. Right?
Anyhow.
I remember when that was a thing, building websites back in the early 90s.
Yeah, and dial-up with AOL.
Oh, my gosh.
You know? Yes. And so anyhow, but moving forward, I actually kind of drifted away and went into event planning and meeting planning and moved to Austin over there. But because I was in the tech world as well and being in Austin, I kept just going to professional development and things like that. And so started to incorporate a lot of technology into my event planning. Then, of course, I got into social media and strategy and learning from the best over there. And so that's what started me getting the company rolling when I moved back to San Antonio.
Okay, and how big is the company now?
Well, we have about 6 employees and some contractors. So, yeah.
And what do you guys focus on as far as services?
So at first we started social media, of course, and strategy.
You're
and
still
then,
doing that?
Yes.
Okay.
But we moved into web development, WordPress to be exact. And so we started learning that really well, PHP, some JavaScript as well. And then we've moved into SEO. Megan's actually certified with Google. And we do SEM, search engine marketing, which are all the Google ads, as well as social media ads with Facebook and Instagram, now with Meta. And then we do reputation management, and then we kind of move into even branding with, you know, some local design and promotional products and things like that. So now the newest thing, though, that we're doing is mobile device ID, which is where we geofence locations. And then if your mobile device goes through there, then you start getting those ads served to your mobile devices.
Interesting. So you've kind of touched on pretty much every digital web space when it comes to websites and marketing and lead generation at this point. And there's a lot of people that go into it who don't have that level of expertise. They just jump into it. It can kind of DIY itself or just figure it out as you go. So what are some of the things that people need to look out for when they're trying to hire someone in that space?
Well, I'll tell you, the website is what I call the heart of a digital marketing plan. Mm-hmm. And so if your website is not up to par, which means in Google standards, you're not going to get the organic traffic that you need to that website. So you're going to start spending money on ads and things like that, But where you should really be focusing that website is so that when people, you know, Google those keyword phrases that find your business or service, your website pops up and you get all that organic traffic. So that's where you need to start first and then move on to the next things.
And I think you and I have talked about this before. One of the things I've noticed in marketing is people have a hard time holding their marketing people accountable,
yes,
right? So what are some ways to hold your Google SEO firms accountable to the activity that they've promised, mm-hmm, or that they're trying to deliver?
Well, you need a measure. I mean, that's the main thing. You have to have a set of analytics, depending whether it's your website or your Google ads. Mm-hmm. And you need to see where you started and you need to see where you're at. If you're not getting those clicks and conversions, then there's something wrong. One of the things that we always see all the time is that people set up Google ads with no landing pages. And how can you track that? You're just sending them to your homepage. Well, you know, that's not good, because then when you're on that homepage, you get distracted. I mean, there's navigational bars, there's all kinds of things going on in your homepage. So if you're going to talk about a specific product or service, you need to have a landing page specific to that and nothing else, and a call to action on there.
Okay.
So when it comes to like the ADA stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So let's start with first thing somebody's going to think is, am I going to get in trouble? Because legally, because I don't have, you know, an audio version of my website or something like that. So let's start with the law.
Yes.
What it says, who it applies to.
Okay. So I'm going to pass that over to Megan, because she's our ADA compliance specialist.
Yeah, Megan.
So what happens is, and this kind of goes for every small business. Back a couple years ago, there was a judge that ruled, hey, websites are public, right? So as a public space, they need to be accessible for anyone, right? And this also comes down to anybody that's, you know, cognitive, ADHD, you name it, you need to be accomplished by it, right? What happens if you're not? You can get sued, okay? So if somebody goes to your website, let's just say, you know, you're selling dog toys, right? Somebody goes to the website, they have, some kind of disability, let's just say blindness, and they use their keyboard, right? Instead of a mouse, they use their keyboard, and the screen reader tells them what they're going to. If it's not ADA compliant and they cannot use the website to make a purchase, you can sue them because, again, they're supposed to be public accommodations. And what happens is that they usually get sued to about like maybe even 10,000, right? Maybe even 20, depending on how big your website is. So that's always something we bring up to small businesses. No matter how small you are, no matter how big you are, your website needs to be compliant.
How often do you run into people that are already aware of that compliance need when you bring it up?
Not many at all. And this is even for the big guys, you know, as well as the small guys. They're just not, educated enough about it until something happens and then they get in trouble for it. And then it's like kind of at that point, it's too late. They need to either pay up and make their website accessible or make it accessible before that happens.
And what is that process like of making it ADA accessible actually look like? Is it something that's difficult to do?
I wouldn't use the word difficult. I would say time consuming, okay, right? And it's not I did it there, I'm done. It's going to be a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. It's going to be a marathon. You're always going to have to do testing, right? There are different screen readers, right? Different size phones. Every user has different settings on their phone. That all comes into play when you're trying to do ADA, right? A lot of people also have different versions of their websites, depending on whether it's an Apple device, Android, they're on Safari, they're on Chrome. There's just so much that can go into it. So it's never going to be, okay, let me do this process, right? These 10 steps, and then I'm done.
And that's what we run into a lot. Mm-hmm. We actually just spoke to a client last week who said, well, when I had my website built, they said it was ADA compliant with SEO. Well, when we checked it, it wasn't. That's the first thing, because SEO does play into ADA compliance. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, it is with us, it's a monthly charge because it's constant. So it's not just a one-time fee and then your website's done. It's like maintenance on a vehicle. It has to be continuously looked at.
Mm-hmm. So I liked what you said about the being ADA compliant actually improves your SEO. Let's get into that and explain how that is.
That would be Megan.
So pretty much Google always is looking out for the user, right? They want everything to be as easy for the user as possible. And ADA compliance comes into that, right? They want it to be to where anybody can use your website, right? Any age, any demographics. So when your website's easy to use, regardless of who the user is, that's just like, hey, Google, look, this user was able to use this website for, 4 minutes, 5 minutes without any trouble. They were able to complete a transaction. No problem. This is a good website. It's going to rank higher. And as far as that goes, when you go into SEO itself, it's just going to help it, right? On-page SEO, technical SEO. I'm going to start ranting here in a bit. But, but that's what we mean, is that it's just about helping the user, making them as easy to, purchase, to get a quote, schedule a consultation. We want it to be as easy for the user as possible.
Okay. So, but what are some other, how's Google going to know that? Time on the website, I guess their path, did it end in a sale, that kind of stuff. But how else is Google going to know that?
So in the code, what happens is there are certain, I don't know if this is going to get too technical.
No, just do it.
So pretty much in the code, there are things called divs, right? And that's pretty much how a website is broken up. So when you have a paragraph, it's a div, right? And what happens is when you have ADA compliance, these divs are kind of labeled in a way. So the screen reader will read, the header, the paragraph, and then, the button, if that. So when Google sees all this, when they come to crawl your website, it's going to know, hey, it's ADA compliant. And that's just in the technical code itself.
Okay.
So one of the things Veronica told me when we were talking about this a couple weeks ago was, it's like in the 80s, not every store had a wheelchair ramp and a handicap parking space. And now they all do because that's when it became required. So not every website has it right now. There are obviously some industries that are going to be more needing to get on it faster, and then it'll trickle down to eventually be everybody. What are those industries that are most at risk of getting sued without the ADA compliance right now?
I would say hotels, for sure. Because anywhere you go, right, if you're going to go on vacation, business conference, you need somewhere to stay. And I guess this kind of goes into Vrbo too and all those other Airbnbs. But I would say hotels are pretty much the number one because people need to book it. Right. No matter who you are. And it kind of goes in hand with the wheelchair ramps. Right. They need to have it. I would say that industry is kind of like the number one spot as of right now.
And where in small business would it be really required?
Anybody that has an e-commerce, especially, they need to be able to purchase your product or service without any problems. Right. That way. And it's kind of one of those things to where it's like morally right, because you also want to open up, right, your website for anybody to use, right, no matter what service or product.
And you'd like to do it not because you're going to get punished for it, because you want people to access it, but also don't pay $10,000.
Yes.
And the other thing, and this is huge, is that we're starting to see RFPs from the government now require websites to be ADA compliant. So if you're planning on doing business with the government, they're going to look at that as well. And so you definitely want to make sure that your site is up to date.
What does this process look like for a small business owner who wants to do this, maybe if they're an e-commerce site, and they don't want to get in trouble? They feel like, hey, maybe I can get more business. What does that process look like for them? What kind of costs are we talking about?
So I can start that. So pretty much what we do here at the agency is we will look at anyone's website for free as a consultation. And then we give you about a 30-minute, overview on what we found. And typically, they're not going to have ADA compliance. And so at that point, we will also look at the back end to an extent and see if you have your SEO. So we start with that. And then Megan usually gives those reports, right? And you have different conversations with people. I mean,
yeah, it also depends on like what their website is built on. There are many website builders, like, GoDaddy website builder. It's easy to use. You know, anybody can go in there, change a picture, update text, whatever it may be. But because of that, it becomes limited. So like I was saying about the divs, like when Google comes to crawl the code, well, let me do that. That's one of the issues with these website builders. Like, how much access do we have technical wise?
Yeah. So, and then as far as maintenance goes, what are we talking about fee-wise?
It's usually about $195 a month with us to keep your website ADA compliant.
Mm-hmm. Now, does that include any other stuff you guys are doing, or is that a completely separate fee just That's for ADA?
Yeah, that would be a separate fee. So typically our web support is $300 a month so that people can get an idea. That comes with 2 hours of changes and updates on photos and text. And then you also receive your monthly report to see how your website's doing. And if you want to jump on a call with our team, that will give you a 30-minute call. Mm-hmm. Yes, a 30-minute call. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that is the ADA compliance.
Okay, and how much time does that take a month to do?
It depends on what's going on. So we actually had someone from the city ask us that if what happens when you upload like PDFs and things like that for people that need a download, right? Mm-hmm. And that was also something that Megan...
Yeah, so that would be kind of an additional part of it. So what happens, again, kind of like the website with PDFs, people need their screen readers to read it to them, right? Mm-hmm. And you pretty much have to tag it to where, okay, it needs to read the header first. It needs to say what this picture is. It needs to say, okay, what the description is. It needs to read it in a certain order. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't have those tags, the screen reader is just going to read whatever it's going to read, right? Unless you tell it, hey, read this first, read this second, read this third, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that's another big part of ADA compliance is a lot of people don't think about the PDFs themselves, right?
So a lot of that has to be done manually with our team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So it seems like this whole ADA compliance thing, it's one of those things, came out a couple of years ago. And as a business owner, you looked at it and you're like, okay, this is something that we need to get on board with. And so I hear you pitch it over to Megan a lot. So can you talk about the process of noting that as a need and then getting it implemented with your team as a business owner? Because it seems like she has a lot of information that she just now knows, but you had to facilitate the training and the onboarding and getting her to that point.
Yeah. So so we are WordPressers. I mean, there is no doubt. I want to say in this city, we're the only ones that I know of, right, that have attended just about every single WordCamp nationally. You know, I feel that education is huge. You know, we're going to be attending South by Southwest Interactive next week. So my team, like I set a budget aside to send my team all over the U.S. so that they are up to par with everything from Google to WordPress to social media strategies. And Megan was sent, well, we started actually with South by, right, a few years ago, getting ADA in informed, I guess is a good way. And then last year when she went to Washington for WordCamp, she really was thrown into the ADA compliance and learned so much. But it's all about the education. I mean, technology, as you know, it doesn't stop. Every day it's changing. And if we as an agency, a digital marketing agency, we can't keep up, then how do we expect our clients to know? I mean, that's why we're here and that's why they, you know, we help them. I mean, that's what we do. And that's funny because I know that you had asked me before, like, why I started the company. And it's because I've worked for the big guys. I've seen what happens. And they just, it's not that small businesses get left behind, you know, because they don't have the big budgets. And that's where I said, you know what, I need to do something here. I need to make sure that these small businesses are not getting, pardon my French, screwed over, you know, because that's exactly what we keep seeing. We just saw it last week. And it bothers me because ethically that shouldn't be happening. You know, you shouldn't be getting $10,000 from a small business and not having anything really happen, not seeing those numbers. And so that's why I started the company and that's why we do what we do.
Yeah, that's huge. Investing in the education and leveraging your people too, because I know a lot of business owners who be like, okay, well, if we're going to implement ADA, I need to learn everything there is to know about ADA in order to do that. And that doesn't seem like the route you took about it.
No. And that's another thing, too. Thank you for bringing that up. We educate our clients. You know, I sit with them. And that's why we have a filtering process. When you want to come work with us, I ask you to fill something out online. Because to me, it's like, if you're going to take the time to answer my questions before I answer all of yours, then we want to work with you, you know? And so we educate our clients. We bring them in. I try to bring them in as much as possible or have conversations with them on the phone or a conference call to keep educating them so that they're aware of what's going on.
Cool. So what's, if somebody's looking to do ADA, what's that process look like when they're going to reach out to you guys?
So they'll have to go to our website and they'll fill out the prospective client form, ask her like maybe 10 questions. And then from there, we will pretty much look at them and then Megan will take that in, right? And you do a review?
Yeah, I pretty much do an evaluation on like where they're at right now, right? To see, you know, if they have ADA, if they have SEO, like everything. Usually people will come to us, you know, for one service, and then that kind of turns into, hey, you don't have SEO. Your website isn't being found by Google. And it's just, you know, all these other things. So that's what we go over them. We go over everything that I found with the client, and that's when the education part really does come in, because they need to see, right? It's more, it's easier to, for people to see it and say, like, hey, there's all these updates that need to happen. Look, you don't have SEO, and this is why. So on and so forth.
Yeah.
And it just always pays off because they're able to actually see it, right? And as websites aren't a tangible item, it makes it that much better.
Yeah, and then that's when I take that information and I sit with the client, I talk about their budget, and then I create a plan for them in phases, because this is not all going to happen overnight or in 60 days. And so we pretty much will start with the website and see what the necessary changes need to be and then go from there. And it's funny because a lot of them will just come for us for ads. And I'm like, well, hold on. Let's not do ads yet. Let's get this website indexing properly first. And so we step back. And as we educate them, they see the value in it. And then they start moving forward. And then we, you know, create that relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very rare that clients leave us. Very rare.
What else are you guys like hitting on that folks may not be aware of? Small business owners, it's like, we're not even thinking about it with respect to our website that could be helpful that you guys are implementing.
I mean, other than SEO and ADA compliance, I think that's about it, right, for now?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think like the second most important thing as of now, because ADA, you know, does have a legal side to it, I would say SEO. A lot of small business owners kind of take, you know, like the freelancer or another agency's word, like, oh, yeah, you know, you have it. But you don't know what you don't know. So they have no choice but to take their word for it until, you know, somebody comes along like us and we're like, hey, look, it's not ranking in Google. Here is why. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute. And then, you know, that turns into another conversation as well.
Yeah.
So what are you guys doing right now to get the word out about you?
Well, we're doing this podcast. No, we have a newsletter and everyone's welcome to sign up for that on our website. It's the www.thesocialbean.com. And so you can sign up for our newsletter, and we always send tips and tricks and things that we're doing. We're also, every so often, I will give a marketing class, a digital marketing class, like with the chamber or with the, you know, Lift Fund or somebody in the city. And so we'll do that. And then, I mean, right now we're kind of slammed. there's only so much I can do because we are getting a lot of leads, you know, word of mouth. And then, of course, people find us on Google. And so we are national. We're considered a national agency because I think our furthest client is Alaska.
Alaska.
Nice.
So we do work for, you know, Florida, Colorado. Like, we have clients.
So they've optimized their search
engine. We did.
We're getting better. So.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, you know, someone told me, always treat yourself like a client. And so that is a priority. So when we go down our list during our project meetings, we're always a client. So.
Okay, so like, what are you guys doing with respect to AI now? Because our last show, we just talked to an AI, I don't know if she's an AI expert, but when it comes to lead generation, she certainly is. So what are you guys doing there with respect to websites? Like, for example, if somebody wants to chat, chatbots can be AI that's integrated in the system. But what else? Are you guys doing anything else in that space?
More so content creation. So we do have a lot of small business owners that are, you know, great in their field. But a lot of them come to us and they're like, I have a lot of trouble writing, right? So that's what we use AI for, is pretty much to generate any kind of content on the page, right? And it's also really good for SEO, because the more content you have right on a page, no matter what the topic is, if you have all this content talking about a certain subject, right, when Google comes to crawl your website, it reads it and it's like, oh, this is what this page is about, and it can help rank that page, right? But it all comes down to the content.
Now, are you talking about blogs and stuff like that, or what?
Blogs and just the website pages themselves, like even the about me's, right, or even biographies, especially the product descriptions. Because a lot of, you know, small businesses, and I guess even in general that I see, is, you know, they have a one or two product description, and it's like, you know, that's great, but there are some people that might want more, and especially Google to help rank that particular product as well.
That's interesting to think about that. And so AI helps you guys come up with most of that content just based on a general topic.
Mm-hmm.
And are you using the general ChatGPT or do you guys have more special?
So we always like to use everything Google, right? So we are using Google Bard. Now it's Google Gemini.
Oh.
That's the one we've always used.
What's Google Gemini?
It's pretty much Google's version of ChatGPT. It's an AI, and it used to be called Bard, but now it's called Gemini.
So ChatGPT is not Google. I, for some reason, I thought it was.
No.
But it's not?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So no. Gemini is.
Yes.
Okay.
A whole ocean of information in that digital world.
Yeah.
And this is why we go to conferences.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, there's people that have come in and say, well, we've got this other AI that makes this one look like it's a, you know, for school children or whatever. Mm-hmm. But so there's a big war going on, I guess, mm-hmm. when it comes to the AI stuff.
Yeah.
But that's it. I mean, I thought there'd be some more earth-shattering stuff going on with website development and AI because, I don't know, there's just a lot to be done there.
Well, yes, yeah. There is. And so, you know, like I said, we're going to be next week at South By. We'll probably learn more, and we can come back and share.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to give us an update. So with TSB now, what does the future look like for your company?
Well, I mean, We're growing, but I also watch that growth as you mm-hmm. and I have talked about because I don't want to grow too fast. And we don't want to lose the relationships that we have with our current clients. So I look at that very well to make sure that we are a good fit for companies. And I always tell companies that we become an extension of their marketing team or their marketing department, you know. So I'm very cautious on who we take on. But we're growing little by little and we have some really big fires right now going, and it's exciting, you know. We're actually in the process of moving, so we'll be you know doing that takes a lot on me, but I see in the next 5 years us growing but definitely staying in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. We're not moving. So
do you have a business coach that you or who's your mentors, or how do you, because look, you're yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How are you? Who else are you interacting with so that you can continue to grow?
Well, I know Heather and I have.
Yeah.
I'm a graduate of BizConnect with the Greater Chamber of San Antonio. So, you know, I just met Heather and this has been great.
Is that where I saw you?
Yeah, BizConnect? That's okay. Where we met. Yeah, I was trying to think about that. And then, of course, there are some other mentors in the area that I, you know, tend to look at and talk to and just see the growth of the company. I definitely... You know, I've been in different programs. I've been with the City of San Antonio Mentor Protege Program. But now I'm mentoring. So mm-hmm. I have two ladies I'm mentoring. And I just love to give back a lot and just help small businesses grow. And not just nonprofits as well. We focus a lot on nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And
what kind of work are you doing in the nonprofit space?
We do their websites and some social media, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're doing social media for them. And then reputation management as well. And then we have also been really big on doing a lot of mobile device ID. That is growing tremendously.
So let's mm-hmm. talk about that. What mm-hmm. is it? Let's walk me through it. Like, talk to me like I'm five.
Okay. All right.
So walk me through what that is.
So it's pretty much just putting a border around a certain location. So I'll give you an example. We helped with the census. The campaign with the census in the city. And so one of the things that we did there was there were certain zip codes that they just were not getting those census back. So we went ahead and created some English and Spanish creatives for them. And then what ended up happening is we geofenced the HEBs and post yeah. offices and city libraries. And again, it's just, you know, everybody is going to go to one of those places
yeah.
for sure. And so, and then what happens is the technology can read whether the phone is set on English or Spanish. And then once it determines that, then you're served those ads. So, you know, get your census in. Deadline is, you know, whatever it was, I don't remember, but yeah. And so they met their numbers.
So how are the ads distributed? Is it social media? Is it Google? What is it?
They're pretty much on different platforms. So like whenever you download an app, right? Let me just pick on Candy Crush, right? If you have the free version of usually any app, right? You know, after a while you get those like ad breaks, right? That's where it can come up on certain Google partners. It can. So even on like newspaper sites as well, pretty much anywhere that you can place an ad, right? Whether it's app or web, it can go on.
Hmm. And it, so is this cost effective for small business or is it really expensive?
It is expensive. I mean, you need at least about $3,500 per month to start that. But I mean, is it worth it? Yes. Yes.
Yeah, especially with hyper-local businesses that yes. need to drive to foot traffic or something like that. I can see the value there.
Yeah, and then and there's different strategies that we use, but billboards go hand in hand with mobile device ID because you can geofence
the billboards
and the highways that they're at. So imagine targeting your competitor. So it works, and I'm not going to say who, but there is a large attorney here that does that.
Oh, wow.
So there are the strategies behind
so
that.
So they're using their investment in the billboards to figure out where
yes.
to target.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because we can also see your drive to and from work, your habits. You know, where do you stop? Where do you go eat? We can see that. Now, we can go back up to 10 years, but we don't do that. We go back to about 2 years yeah. because most people will change out their devices every 2 years.
Yep. For sure.
But we can see everything.
So that's when it's ask the app not to track. Is that what we're talking
yes,
about?
Yes. And then also in a little bit more of that is IP address targeting. So we can see the IP addresses as well and see, you know, like, for example, in your home, how many devices do you each have with your families and your children? So we can target that. And then there's also a way not to let those ads go to children, right? I think you mm-hmm. said, yeah. So there's ways of doing things, but it's big brother.
A little spooky, yeah. I was like, I feel like if I was a little bit more malicious, I could think of a way to use that for evil. It's not really coming to me, but it's a little terrifying how much information there is mm-hmm. out there.
Well, but the flip side of that is you get served ads of things that you could probably use.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And then remarketing and everything else is on there. But yeah, I mean, there's strategies, but that's pretty much the base of the technology.
Mm-hmm. Mm. How many people are utilizing that right now for you guys?
2 clients.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it is a larger pricey, investment, yeah. but it does work.
It is there a work. Particular kind of client that's better for?
No, not really. I mean, really, right? I mean, it depends.
Who do you see like the most potential for it?
Yeah. Like in home service companies?
Probably service companies, definitely. Anybody who has a service. Large campaigns coming up, like for Fiesta, you know, we can definitely target everybody.
Political campaigns?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's an election year.
Yes. Political. Yeah. Oh so it, there's a lot. I mean, you can do a lot of different things with that.
I would imagine that you're going to have super PACs come down and want to use that mm-hmm. kind of stuff too.
I mean, just imagine, you know, think of the Alamo Dome and the different things that go on there. And so are you trying to target anybody that goes to the Alamo Dome for different things?
Yeah,
you know?
The Brahmins are about to start playing, yes. I think, next week.
Yeah. And
who is?
The XFL team.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And yet yesterday I was at the Home and Garden Show. So, I mean, you know, there was so many service companies there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody needs to jump on that.
So are you, let's talk. For I think we got a couple minutes. Let's talk about how you're marketing your business. So are you guys in referral groups? How are you networking? How are you getting the word out there?
You know, I don't do too much right now.
You're plenty busy.
Yeah, we really are. I mean, I've done a lot of legwork before. I was going to all the chambers and all the events and networking, lunches, breakfasts, you name it. I do try to go out as much as possible just to see people, and it's nice to be out. I love talking to people and seeing where they're at with their businesses. But really, we get so many referrals, and we get found on Google that's what's keeping us busy right now.
And you don't want to grow your staff and grow your staff. And
you know, slowly.
You like where you're at?
Slowly. I mean.
I think there's something there, though, because the thing is, you said you started out by going. Can you talk about what the timeline of being out and networking a bunch at the beginning of your business looked like, and then being at the point where most of your business comes from referrals?
Yes.
Because I feel like that's a lot of businesses want to get to that point where yes. they don't have to network as much as you and I do, and we enjoy mm-hmm. it. Some business owners do it like grit your teeth and mm-hmm. do mm-hmm. it until the business has started up, you know?
I want to say, if I had to think back, I probably was out like hitting it hard for 5 years. Yeah. And then it just after that, I could slow down a bit and kind of just be more running the business scene. Because, you know, what takes a lot of my time is the internal growth, the mm-hmm. HR issues, the accounting issues. You know, I mean, we started. It was funny. We were just looking at this morning. We started as a DBA. Then I moved into an LLC, single corp. And then recently, last year, we changed our name. So a lot of people locally know us as the Social Being, mm-hmm. and now we're TSB, Creative Digital Agency. And the reason I did that is because everybody was always saying, oh, you're a social media company. No, we're not. We web is actually our bread and butter. And so that's part of the reason why I changed the name. And for national, because I'm trying to brand us nationally like that. Mm-hmm. But I've gone to actually slow down. I actually go on vacation now and I take days off. But I also had to set my boundaries because a lot of people have my mobile cell phone. If you have my mobile cell phone, you're in, you know. Yeah. But I don't have my mobile cell phone on my business cards because I will get slammed and I get all kinds of questions all day and all night. Because before, when people thought social, it was like, oh, she's online all the time. No, I actually have a life. I stop. I put the phone away, you know. But we're blessed right now. I am always looking for new business. Don't think I'm not. So anybody listening, you know, hit us up. But, you know, we just want to make sure we have the right clients and the right partners.
So. Yeah, the right clients makes a huge difference, right? The wrong clients can really put a drain on what you're doing. Yes. Oh, yeah. All right, if folks want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, they can go to our website. TheSocialBeing.com is our website. Or call our office. It's 210-901-8221. And then they can email us at info@thesocialbeing.com.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. Great job, everybody. What did you think for your first podcast?
Oh, it was fun.
good. Well, you know your stuff over there. That's for sure.
Why she keeps me around.
Yeah.
I like that.
We could go down a real rabbit hole with all the information in your head, I feel like.
Yes.
You could school us.
All right, as we wrap up the show, a quick reminder, check out our latest podcast and catch a video version of the show anytime by visiting our website at satalkradio.com. That's going to be it for us. You guys have a great week. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.